Son, never stop learning.
In September 1962, the CIA published an official estimate concluding that the Soviet Union would unlikely station strategic missiles in Cuba. That word, unlikely, carried the full weight of American intelligence confidence. It was wrong, and that single miscalculation nearly ended the world. The crisis that followed was not a story of two grandmasters playing chess across a global board. It was something far more dangerous, two nuclear powers stumbling through the dark, each convinced they understood the other's moves, neither one actually in control. Think of Operation Anadir as the most audacious deception in Cold War history. The Soviets moved 40,000 troops and dozens of nuclear warheads across the Atlantic, and to maintain the cover story, they issued soldiers cold weather clothing and told them they were heading to the Arctic, Arctic gear, for Cuba. The men sweating below deck had no idea where they were going. Now, that detail matters because it reveals something critical. The Soviets weren't just hiding missiles, they were hiding an entire military reality from American eyes, and they succeeded far longer than anyone in Washington thought possible. The key idea is what happened when that reality finally cracked open. On October 14, 1962, Major Richard Heiser piloted a U-2 spy plane over western Cuba. In just 6 minutes, he captured 928 photographs. Those images, when analyzed, revealed the unmistakable construction of SS-4 medium-range ballistic missile sites near San Cristobal. These weren't defensive weapons. SS-4S could reach Washington, D.C. They could reach New York. The missiles weren't coming. They were already there, being assembled in real time. The intelligence community had called it unlikely. The photographs called it done. What happened next reveals just how human and how fragile the machinery of power actually is. National Security Advisor McGeorge Bundy received word of the discovery on the night of October 15th. He made a decision that still stuns historians. He waited. He chose not to wake President Kennedy. He wanted the president to have a full night's sleep before the crisis began. That means the leader of the free world, the man with his finger closest to the nuclear trigger, spent the night of October 15th, unaware that the Cold War had just fundamentally changed. Kennedy was briefed the morning of October 16th. The assumptions he had carried about Soviet behavior, about the balance of power, about what Khrushchev would and would not dare. All of it shattered over breakfast. The takeaway from this opening chapter is not that Kennedy was unprepared or that the Soviets were simply reckless. The real lesson is structural. Every actor in this crisis, American analysts, Soviet commanders, the president himself, was operating on incomplete information and confident assumptions that turned out to be wrong. The chess match metaphor implies mastery, foresight, rational calculation. The reality was closer to blind man's bluff, powerful men making enormous decisions with enormous gaps in what they actually knew. The Cuban Missile Crisis was not a masterclass in strategic control. It was a near catastrophe held together by luck as much as logic, and understanding that distinction is the only honest way to understand what those 13 days in October 1962 actually were.